Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations.
Yoo-hoo!
We're libations. Back. Summer goodness.
Yes.
It's been a summer. Minute, but we're happy to be here. A couple things before we start. Number one, we swear.
Yeah.
We tiptoe to blasphemy.
Yeah.
Try not to dive into that, but it could happen because we're Catholic, but you don't have to be to listen.
No.
And we're glad you're with us.
Yeah.
I'm Dizzy, joined as always by my awesome co-host.
Yes.
There's Guess.
That's me.
And what are we drinking today?
Well, I am having...
I want to hear about the libations portion of the show.
We went heavy on the libations today. Not necessarily in a pregame sort of way, just from a preparation standpoint. We got out
summer.
The cocktail mixer.
You had a little time.
Yeah.
Take our time making some cocktails, so...
So I am having a Midsummer Night's Beam, which doesn't actually have any beam in it. It's got Maker's Mark today.
Oh.
But... it's in honor of our summer season, which is going to be all about our Church Drunk summer reading list.
Yes. If you haven't tuned in before, we are literary nerds and proud of it.
Yeah.
And so we couldn't resist an opportunity to kind of have a little meandering through some favorite reads.
Yeah.
And what time but summer to leisurely pick up a few books.
Exactly. So the first book I picked up for our summer reading list is Tim Federle's classic Tequila Mockingbird, Cocktails with a Literary Twist. And what I came across was Midsummer Night's Beam, which is mint, lime juice, and sugar all muddled together. And then you throw in a shot of bourbon and shake it all up and top it off with some club soda. So it is a delicious ice-cold summer cocktail, kind of a riff on the classic mint julep.
So. I feel like it's a great alternative to all the, like, mint mojitoing that happens when the mint is overrunning in summer. You can instead make a mint summer's
A mint summer night's beam.
Yes, and this book is awesome because it's punny. So
yes.
If that's the only book you pick up from us this summer, you should get this one.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I am sipping another thing with a little bit of herbs in it.
Mm.
At least a garnish. A rosé all day, which you brought to my attention. Which is 3 ounces of rosé. I would say a nice dry rosé, everybody.
Yeah.
One ounce.
Wine is to be,
yes.
You know, respected, but only if it's respectable.
I'm pretty into it in the summer.
Yeah.
But it has to be chosen well.
It's got to be a good rosé.
All right. 1 ounce, we think pronounced Coqui Americano.
Coqui Americano.
1 ounce of papaya shrub, or Guess says any shrub that you can lay
any
your
shrub.
Hands on.
It's basically vinegar and, like, sugar water and whatever flavor you want in there.
Or, you know, leave it out.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. 1/2 ounce fresh lemon juice and floated with 1 ounce of Prosecco or
club soda is an alternative if you're already too boozy. Because that's a nice light summer drinker, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you just can kind of hang out and drink it throughout the day. It's
you could
like
have a bottle
cocktail.
Of Prosecco just kind of always open in your fridge this summer, and that would be a great choice.
For sure.
Anyway, so you shake it all up, and like we said, float it with the Prosecco or the club soda, and garnish with something nice. I have a little time on mine.
A little time.
Mm. Oh, here, here. Hey, happy summer. Cheers.
Happy summer, yeah.
Here we go.
So, 'tis the season to be cocktail-y, and we are going to be giving you some back porch cocktails over the course of this upcoming season of Church Drunk as we kind of get back into the swing of things for our summertime slash into fall kind of time frame here. We're also going to give you some back porch reads because we've decided to, for the first time ever, pick a theme for the whole season that's not just a liturgical season.
Right. Branching out.
Yeah. What we found was last year when we were like, okay, well, we've done Lent, we've done Advent. I guess let's do ordinary time for summer.
It's a long damn time.
Yeah, we could not do a second season of ordinary time as a podcast. It just wasn't going to work, folks.
I feel like that sums up like the ordinary time dilemma.
Know.
You know, like that's ordinary time in a nutshell. You did it once. You're like, I got it.
I understand the concept.
Okay. I mean, there's more saints days and whatever, but why not do a summer reading
and we
list?
May highlight a few of those along the way
we'll
as we kind of go through. That was the well that we went to several times last year during ordinary time was like, okay, who's the saint of the moment? But we're going to be doing a Church Drunk summer reading list for our summer season. So
and these are not necessarily religious books or spiritual books. They're just books that we like and think are summery. And we'll try to kind of tie in a little bit of maybe if there's a spiritual connection there. But
yeah. So we're going to be pitching them to you during this intro episode. So we'll talk a little bit about each book very briefly. And we will post the summer reading list on the blog as well so that you guys can look it up. Make sure you guys are reading the right ones as you go if you choose to follow along.
Or yeah, bookmark it for future recommendations. It's always nice to have a little list going.
Yeah, and it's absolutely not required that you follow along with us. We will be avoiding major spoilers.
True.
Yeah.
But still talking pretty in-depth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll be definitely touching on major plot points. So if you're like, oh, I've desperately been wanting to read that book and I don't want to know anything about it before I jump into it, then don't listen to that episode of the podcast until you've read the book. Read the book, listen to the podcast, it'll be a good time. But if you are just kind of like along for the ride, then we'll see what comes up.
All right. So what's up first?
Our first episode after this one is going to be the Yiddish Policemen's Union.
Yeah.
Which I somehow always call the Yiddish Detectives Agency because apparently I think it's a Nancy Drew book. But it's not. It's actually a very involved, won awards for sci-fi, actually.
It won the Hugo Award, and it's Michael Chabon.
Yeah, Michael Chabon's
author.
Book that, he kind of steps into like an alternate reality.
Yeah. Which is probably why you would get the fantasy or the sci-fi kind of shout out there, because it is an alternate historical timeline.
Yes.
And so that takes a little bit of, like, suspension of disbelief, so I feel like you have to be okay with, like, a pretend world. So some people don't like books like that at all.
Right.
But this is not fantastical besides that.
Right.
At least in terms of setting.
Yeah, and I think each book, I mean, this one, when we get into that next episode of the podcast, it'll become a little bit more apparent, you know, like, why we would choose this book for a podcast that is about faith, reason, and libations, so to speak.
Totally, all of those are there.
It all gets tied in. Yeah. So we've chosen things that, at the very least, we have read with sort of a spiritual eye.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that we really enjoy doing, I think, is taking books that, you know, in some cases, people wouldn't necessarily read them and use them as fodder for their spiritual life.
Totally.
But like, that's the view that I tend to take, like, when I read a book, is like, what is this telling me about the world that I live in, from like, and my lens on that is always kind of somewhat spiritual. So
I think good authors and good writing always ties into something bigger,
right?
And for us, that's gonna maybe dovetail into a spiritual realm.
So that's part of why we are such lit nerds, and also part of why we've chosen to do a summer reading list, just kind of something that's another avenue to, you know, sit and relax and reflect and pray and do all those good things. And
so we're here for the stories.
Yiddish Policemen's Union / Detectives Agency.
Yeah.
There's definitely like that avenue there. Yeah. So there's a spiritual tone to a sci-fi book that takes place in a different reality.
If you like good characters, you would like this book. Like, it's, and I think if you can tolerate a little bit of fantasy, then this is for you.
And if you've ever read any Michael Chabon, Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, and he's got Telegraph Avenue.
This is my favorite of his that I've read, so I'll throw in that recommendation.
I'm a Cavalier and Clay guy. I want on more this of a Yiddish
because I think that comes down to plot versus character.
Exactly. So, but if you're a Chabon fan and you haven't read it, definitely check
it
out. And we'll be tackling that one first.
All right. Coming down the line, number two is the classic, almost cliche, except it really is so good, The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho.
So good.
So everybody's probably read this or heard of it or seen it, especially around graduation times. That's what kind of makes it a summer read.
Yeah.
But it is simple words with deep wisdom.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of, it's one of those that you can pass off to someone who is just like, oh, I don't really like to read, you know, and you're like, read this, you know, enjoy it.
Yeah.
But you can also, you know, read it for the 50th time and still kind of
definitely returnable.
Dig into it a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. What about number three?
Number three on the list is going to be a fun one.
Yes.
It's Good Omens. And we actually kind of intentionally talked about what authors did we want to include on the summer reading list, because we know that definitely touched on Christopher Moore a fair amount. He's one of our faves.
Yep.
And we've also talked about Neil Gaiman a fair amount on Church Drunk.
A lot of play out.
And this one is by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett.
Yeah.
So it's a collaborative piece. So it's not just Gaiman, and the tone is actually a little different than like your typical Neil Gaiman. So
yeah, it definitely does not read like a classic Neil Gaiman. So
right.
That's fair for us then, not to be totally heavy on that. And Terry Pratchett just died this past year.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, wanted to highlight something from him.
Right.
And also, there's a lot of, like, heat in this book, which is why I think it's a good summer read.
Yeah.
Things get hot.
It's a fun, I mean, it's angels and demons and lots of fun religious nerdisms that are really right up our alley.
It's super fun. It's kind of the grown-up Lamb almost. Totally. Like, not as reverent.
Yeah.
So, if you think Lamb is reverent,
right.
This is irreverent.
Yeah.
But also, if you can tolerate or enjoy, as I do, lots of, like, British words and slang and stuff, I think that's fun. Yeah. So,
and if you read any Terry Pratchett, which he's really famous for, like, the Discworld series and stuff like that, which I've, like, barely dipped my pinky toe into that stuff. But if you're a fan of his and are looking for something that's maybe a little bit different than his normal perspective, then Good Omens is a great one.
Yeah, so, super fun.
Yeah.
All right, our next couple are ones that we've each read, but the other hasn't. Yeah. So guess your first.
I chose, as a book that I love that Dizzy has not yet read, The Iowa Baseball Confederacy by W.P. Kinsella. Mm-hmm. And Kinsella is a favorite author of mine. He wrote Shoeless Joe Jackson Comes to Iowa. And that was the basis for the book, or for the movie Field of Dreams.
Right.
So I think that book actually snuck its way onto one of our, like, church drunk, like, Lenten reading lists.
You
at
like
some point.
It. I know that's there.
So
yeah.
Kinsella writes about, you know, predominantly baseball. He's actually a baseball scout. Like, he used to be a scout for, I believe it was, like, the Atlanta Braves or something like that. So he was, like, into, you know, like, minor league baseball and, like, the history of barnstormers and stuff like that. So he writes a lot about baseball, but for him, baseball is a very spiritual avenue. So there's always elements of the supernatural. So if you think Field of Dreams and you're like, that's a story that I'm interested in, and you would like to read something else by the same author, Iowa Baseball Confederacy, I like it even better than Shoeless Joe.
Okay, I'm willing to read this because I don't really read sports books, so I feel like you get to make me read a sports book, but also because baseball is supposedly the real American religion, so I will approach it from that perspective.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I picked for you something that I think is summery and fun is Dandelion Wine by Ray Bradbury, which is an older book. It's and when you read it, it definitely kind of takes you back to a different time in the States and what it was like. He really is such a vivid word painter, you know, like, you get the imagery and the senses, and it's such a sensory book. So I think it's really fun for summer. I think you might like it because it is a good story and it has some of those, like, little gut punch moments that you don't see coming, and it's just like, oh, that's beautiful.
Nice.
I didn't know I was gonna cry about Dandelion Wine here, you know. So I like it for that.
Fair enough. Looking forward to it. Next on the list is an author who we both claim as our favorite.
Yes.
But who does not get nearly enough credit on our podcast.
No. Or maybe at all.
Yeah.
Although he's got a lot of fans.
He does.
I mean, maybe we just not
aware.
He's
got a cult following. But we're going to be doing Jitterbug Perfume
by Tom Robbins.
Yes. Now, there's a bit of a discrepancy here. Well, not really discrepancy.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
So, we both love Jitterbug Perfume.
Yes.
Deeply. Passionately.
Really love it.
It's a great book.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my favorite Tom Robbins, though. I know. And Diz,
well,
this
is
Diz's favorite.
Yeah, it is my favorite.
And Another Roadside Attraction is my favorite, which I think may have been one that we put on one of the other like Lenten Church Drunk reading lists. And honestly, there was probably a half a dozen books by Tom Robbins that we could have put onto this summer reading list to, like, talk about them and talk about why it opens up a whole new spiritual dimension.
We could have a
spin-off and all
podcast
this stuff.
About
Tom Robbins. Welcome to the Tom Robbins Hour.
Oh my gosh.
Where we wear sunglasses and talk about how everyday occurrences can be supernatural.
You'd have to do it with a southern accent. So I actually got to go to a reading of Tom Robbins, and he's like 80 years old. Like, he's an old dude.
Yeah.
And it made, like, things click into place when I heard his accent, because he's got, like, an Appalachian accent. Like, I don't know. It's very Southern. I mean, I'm sorry. You can hear my obviously not from the South accent, but, like, it's beautiful. It's good.
I mean, the man's autobiography is called Tibetan Peach Pie, so, you know.
But Jitterbug Perfume is another older book. It's no recent book.
Right.
And I think it inspired lots of other older generations in some different ways. But I love it because it's a great ride. It's such a fun story, and it's got wonderful characters.
Love, like, fun, funky writing. If you're a word person, like, Tom Robbins is just a word magician. The hardest thing that I had to figure out about reading Robbins for the first time was that, like, you don't need to go back and reread every single paragraph for comprehension. Like, at that point in my, you know, like, reading, I think I was, like, right out of college, maybe, or still in college, and I was reading another Roadside Attraction over the summer, and it was taking me so long because I kept going back and being like, what the hell is going on?
what are you even talking about?
Yeah. And once I let go of that and was like, I am just along for the ride in this, and you can just enjoy kind of the play of words against each other and the play of concepts that you haven't even really thought about that are being zipped around.
And he does that intentionally. So, you know, if you like Wabi Sabi, you will like Tom Robbins, and you will like Jitterbug Perfume.
Okay. All right. Next up on the list is a really short read. You should be able to read it in just a day or two. And it's called The 13 Clocks by James Thurber. It's like...
This is another slight cheat of ours because...
Somewhere between a children's book and a mysterious work of spiritual fiction.
But why not read supposed children's books?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, like, you can read what you want.
The closest thing that I can think of when I was reading this one was that it's basically like the book version of watching... The Princess Bride. It's not, not like from a story perspective. I mean, a little bit, I guess, but just, it's like you're watching something that really feels so like infantile, but yet it's so thoroughly enjoyable. Like you're just like, no, this is fun though. Like this is good. And 13 Clocks is that with an extra layer of like, like this is a book for like small people that really makes me think a lot.
That's the, probably the best kind.
Yeah.
So this came to us via Neil Gaiman, though not written by him. So he loves this book and recommended it, and that's what brought our attention originally to it. All right. And to wrap up the summer, to head us back into more of our usual fare, I suppose, we're going to be closing our reading list with God's Mechanics by Brother Guy Consolmagno, who I know I've raved about before because I am a total, like, fangirl for the head of the Vatican Observatory. Not even embarrassed about that.
So, like, full disclosure, this is a book that neither of us have read.
This is our actual, like, first pass summer read.
But we have each read, like, a few pages of it and been like, oh my god, I love this book so much. So, we have homework to do in addition to the vast Church Drunk listening audience out there.
If you feel like you want to be faithful and sane and interested in science, this is going to be a balm to your soul in this day and age.
If you have ever ripped your hair out when people try to convince you that faith and science or religion and science are somehow forever doomed to be incompatible. Brother Guy Consolmagno is one of those people that is working to bridge that gap, and I think that's an important gap to bridge today.
Right, and don't be afraid that if you don't like scientific writing that you won't like this book, because he writes very personably. He's one of those rare scientists who can like tell a good story and tie it all back together because he's a Jesuit brother and he's awesome. Okay.
So that's it. That's our Church Drunk reading list for the summer, and we're going to be going episode by episode through those eight books. We're going to post it again on the blog so that you guys can take a look at it, read them, listen to them, whatever your preference happens to be. If you have other books that you think should make the list, we could always add a bonus
episode to hear from you.
And we would love to hear your suggestions. What are you reading this summer? Why does it get you excited about life and the world and all things, you know, understandable or not?
So you can read our list that we just told you about at churchdrunk.com. You can follow us on Twitter at ChurchDrunkPod.
I'm a tweeter.
And you can email us at churchdrunk@gmail.com. Just like listener Melissa, shout out to her. I loved that she wrote to us some little encouragement, and she said, thank you for making me feel normal in the church, which I didn't think we were capable of doing, but I guess if normal is relative, we're glad we're normal with you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, being part of a community doesn't make you normal, but welcome to the club. So,
cheers. We hope you drink and listen along. You can tell us your favorite book by emailing us there.
Yep. Email us, tweet us, let us know what you're drinking. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you're reading.
Yep.
Let us know what you want us to talk about. It's all fair game, and we're glad that you are along for the ride.
Cheers, friends.
Church drunk.
Finding our own sacred scripture since 2017.
I mean, maybe further back than that.
Yeah, maybe.